Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 71, The Lord Travels to Indraprastha, text number 9. Gayandite visada karma griheshu devyo.
Gayandite visada karma griheshu devyo.
Ragyam svasatru bhavam atva mimokshanam cha.
Ragyam svasatru bhavam atva mimokshanam cha.
Gopyascha kunjara pate jana karma jaya. Pitrascha labda sarana munayo bhayam cha.
Pitrascha labda sarana munayo bhayam cha. Gayantite visadakarma griheshu devyo. Gayantite visadakarma griheshu devyo. Vimokshanam, the deliverance. Cha, and Gopyaha, the cowherd girls of Braja. Cha, and Punjara, of the elephants. Pate, of the Lord. Janaka, of King Janaka. Atmajaya, of the daughter. Sita Devi, the wife of Lord Ramchandra. Pitra, of your parents. Cha, and Labdha, who have attained. Sarana, shelter. Munaya, sages. Vayam, we. Cha, also. Translation: in their homes, the godly wives of the imprisoned kings sing of your noble deeds, about how you will kill their husband's enemy and deliver them. The gopis also sing your glories, how you killed the enemy of the elephant king, Gajendra, the enemy of Sita, daughter of Janaka, and the enemies of your own parents as well. So also do the sages who have obtained your shelter glorify you, as do we ourselves. Report. Great sages and devotees had informed the grief-stricken wives of the imprisoned kings
that Lord Krishna would arrange for the killing of Jarasandha and would thus save them from their crisis. These godly women would thus sing the glories of the Lord at home, and when their children would cry for their fathers, their mothers would tell them, "Child, do not cry, Sri Krishna will save your father." In fact, the Lord has saved many devotees in the past, as described here. So, here, Uddhava is continuing to speak to Krishna, and Uddhava is giving his advice, as asked by Krishna, how they should solve the two problems at hand. One is to help Maharaj Yudhisthira in the Rajasuya Yajna. The other is to deliver the various 20,000 kings who had been imprisoned and were soon to be killed by Jarasandha as an offering to Lord Shiva. So, Uddhava is gradually suggesting to Krishna that they should approach Jarasandha, and that Bhima should ask for charity of a one-on-one combat fight, and in this way Jarasandha, without his army fighting an equal in the form of Bhima, would be able to be defeated. And of course Uddhava is suggesting that Krishna also go and be present, because he has stated in the previous verses, it's understood that Krishna actually does everything, even when great demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are performing their work of creating the universe or destroying the universe, it's understood that actually Krishna is really doing it, and these demigods are really just instruments in his hands. And in the same way, if Bhima were to go there and fight with Jarasandha, Bhima would really be an instrument in the hands of Krishna, and in this way they would be successful. And here, so therefore, Uddhava is saying that, you go and in this way, utilizing Bhima as your instrument in this mission, when you have returned, we will happily glorify you. So this is the basic mood of this particular prayer. And Uddhava is giving Krishna an example here, that he is saying that the wives of these kings, they are praying, that they are glorifying Krishna, or they will glorify Krishna actually. And he is saying that their glorification, an example of that, an example that Krishna would really like, is he's saying that the gopis, they glorify Krishna. Says here, the gopis also sing your glories. And Vishwanath Chakravarti before actually reveals an interesting insight, and that is that when the gopis were actually attempted to be kidnapped by Sankachuda, when Krishna was enjoying fun in the forest with them, and Krishna killed that demon Sankachuda, and later when the gopis were actually feeling separation from Krishna, they were singing his glories amongst themselves, that saying, "Dear friends, do not cry, do not die crying, because just as Krishna killed the demon Sankachuda, he will also come and destroy this great enemy of ours in the form of time, which has caused our separation from Krishna." So Uddhava is in one sense, he is speaking to Krishna and at the same time being a very confidential friend. He's speaking in terms that are very appealing to Krishna. There's sort of some confidential messages being, you know, passed between them. Uddhava is also suggesting in there that when Krishna does go and kill these Jarasandha, that when he returns on his way back, he should secretly go to Braja and you know, give the gopis his darshan, and that way, you know, save them from the separation that they are feeling from Krishna. So then, Uddhava, he is saying that, you know, when you return, we will all, just as the in giving this example of the gopis, also there's also the indication that Krishna should go and, you know, destroy the enemy of the kings and return their wives, you know, to their husbands, and they will be very, very pleased with that, and they will glorify the activities of the Lord, and all the devotees will glorify the Lord according to their own particular relationships. And therefore he gives different examples here. He says that, you know, so also do the sages who have obtained your shelter glorify you as we do ourselves. And he gives the examples that just as, you know, you killed the crocodile that was harassing Gajendra, and you killed Ravana who had kidnapped Sita, and you saved your parents, Vasudeva and Devaki, by killing Kamsa. So in this way, you know, all the different personalities who have different moods of relationships with Krishna, they will all glorify him in their own particular way when he returns from this wonderful mission of killing Jarasandha. And allowing, helping Maharaj Yudhisthira to perform the Rajasuya Yajna, by which he will be established as the ruling emperor of the whole world, and therefore, you know, will usher in a flourishing kingdom of Krishna consciousness throughout the world under the reign of Maharaj Yudhisthira, which is very, very glorious. So, you know, therefore, when devotees remember, the basic mood here of this prayer is that when devotees remember the glories of the Lord, how he protects so many devotees and destroys all the rascals that harass the devotees and try and introduce so many irreligious principles. When devotees remember how Krishna is always victorious and how wonderfully he performs his pastimes, it makes them very confident. And that confidence is a very important element in Krishna consciousness. If one doesn't have confidence, then you know, a devotee cannot actually make progress. If there's no confidence that I will be successful by Krishna's grace, a devotee can't make any progress. Sometimes devotees, you know, that they may feel, you know, I just can't, you know, I just can't become Krishna conscious. It's too difficult for me, and that's because they're lacking confidence. They're lacking confidence because they're not hearing and chanting enough about Krishna's, you know, supreme glorious position. As soon as they remember Krishna's wonderful activities, they would understand, yes, you know, I am, you know, a Kali Yugaite, and but, you know, Krishna is very, very powerful, and by his mercy, it will be possible even to deliver such a wretch as me. Like that. And, you know, sometimes when we're preaching, we think, you know, how will it be possible to actually, you know, spread Krishna consciousness, to make other people Krishna conscious? We sometimes feel like that. But if we remember Krishna's glories, then we remember, oh yes, by Krishna's grace, definitely will happen. Actually, there's a very nice song that Srila Prabhupada wrote, I might read in that regard. Srila Prabhupada wrote this song when he arrived in Boston on board the Jaladuta. So Prabhupada wrote this song. My dear Lord Krishna, you are so kind upon this useless soul. but I do not know why you have brought me here. Now you can do whatever you like with me. But I guess you have some business here, otherwise why would you bring me to this terrible place? Most of the population here is covered by the material modes of ignorance and passion. Absorbed in material life, they think themselves very happy and satisfied, and therefore they have no taste for the transcendental message of Vasudeva. I do not know how they will be able to understand it. But I know your causeless mercy can make everything possible because you are the most expert mystic. See, there's that confidence. How will they understand the mallows of devotional service? Oh Lord, I am simply praying for your mercy so that I will be able to convince them about your message. All living entities have come under the control of the illusory energy by your will, and therefore, if you like, by your will, they can also be released from the clutches of illusion. I wish that you may deliver them. Therefore, if you so desire their deliverance, then only will they be able to understand your message. The words of Srimad Bhagavatam are your incarnation, and if a sober person repeatedly receives it with submissive oral reception, then he will be able to understand your message. So Srila Prabhupada then quotes some very famous verses on that point from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then he continues, he will become liberated from the influence of the modes of ignorance and passion, and thus all inauspicious things accumulated in the core of the heart will disappear. How will I make them understand this message of Krishna consciousness? I am very unfortunate, unqualified, and the most fallen. Therefore, I am seeking your benediction so that I can convince them, for I am powerless to do so on my own. Somehow or other, O Lord, you have brought me here to speak about you. Now, my Lord, it is up to you to make me a success or failure as you like. O spiritual master of all the worlds, I can simply repeat your message, so if you like, you can make my power of speaking suitable for their understanding. Only by your causeless mercy will my words become pure. I am sure that when this transcendental message penetrates their hearts, they will certainly feel engladdened and thus become liberated from all unhappy conditions of life. O Lord, I am just like a puppet in your hands. So if you have brought me here to dance, then make me dance. Make me dance, O Lord, make me dance as you like. I have no devotion, nor do I have any knowledge, but I have strong faith in the holy name of Krishna. I have been designated as Bhaktivedanta, and now, if you like, you can fulfill the real purport of Bhaktivedanta. Very, very powerful words there. Actually, Srila Prabhupada, you see there Srila Prabhupada's mood, that the mood of devotees is that they do feel that they have no personal power to become Krishna conscious or to make others Krishna conscious, and they're always dependent upon Krishna, but they're very confident that Krishna can make that happen. And yesterday, actually, was Gaurav Kishore Das Babaji's disappearance day, and of course today is the feast, so don't forget the feast today for that, because we fast yesterday from the codicil, so we don't really feast, so we must do it today. So, but you know, Srila Gaurav Kishore Das Babaji, he had the same mood, that he also felt powerless to actually deliver the conditioned souls in this material universe in Kali Yuga. Of course, he had the potency, he was able to, but in his humility he felt powerless to do so. But one should not think that there was a lack of compassion or a lack of preaching mood in Srila Gaurav Kishore Das Babaji, because actually Srila Gaurav Kishore Das Babaji chanted and constantly prayed for the deliverance of everyone in Kali Yuga. And he prayed for someone who was qualified to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world. And of course, because of his prayers, Krishna sent Srila Prabhupada. He sent Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and he sent Srila Prabhupada because of the prayers of the Bhajananandis. such as Srila Guru Kishore Das Babaji. It's not as if they don't have an influence in the preaching of Krishna consciousness, but in their humility, they, you know, the Bhajan and Andis, they feel that they are unable, and because people imitate their behaviour, they therefore perform their worship alone. They have, as devotees of the Lord, they are very, very austere, and sometimes people come along and imitate the behaviour of the Bhajan and Andis, and this causes that very offensive and very artificial platform, and therefore they don't last very long, and sometimes because of their offences to those Vaishnavas and to the Vaishnava community, they fall away from devotional service altogether. Therefore, the Bhajan and Andis, out of their compassion, they actually chant in a secluded place. So the people, they don't go into the cities, they don't go into society where, you know, people will, you know, flock to them and imitate them. But one should understand their desire, despite their activities are very difficult to understand. Srila Guru Kishore Das Babaji, he wouldn't go into the big cities. And you see the difference in the mood. Srila Guru Kishore Das Babaji, he wouldn't go into the big cities under any circumstances. Whereas Srila Prabhupada, he would, gravitate towards the bigger cities where, the most people were, the most fallen people were. Different moods. But at the same time, the same mood is there in that they want to fulfill Krishna's desire to liberate all living entities in this world, but they're doing it in slightly different ways, but they're still serving Krishna's same desire. Actually, when Srila Guru Kishore Das Babaji, later on in life, around about 1907 and that, in his older years, he actually became practically blind in both eyes due to like an ailment. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who used to always try and look after Srila Guru Kishore Das Babaji, he suggested that he go to Calcutta, where he could get treatment for his eyes. And Srila Guru Kishore Das Babaji said that he would not go to the illusory world, because he considered that going to Calcutta, leaving the Dham and going to Calcutta, was entering the material world. And he said, as long as I have I can see Krishna within my heart of hearts, I do not need an eye doctor. So Srila Guru Kishore Das Babaji, of course, he was seeing Krishna on the spiritual platform, so he didn't actually need, for his eyes to be corrected so that he could see Krishna, because Krishna consciousness is not dependent upon any material situation. But he was, warning devotees about the danger of actually being in the city. So, we should take that advice from Srila Guru Kishore Das Babaji. Not that we shouldn't go to the cities, because Srila Prabhupada has ordered all his followers, you go out and preach all over the world. So that's our mission. But we should still, understand the mood of the Vaishnavas, that we have to be very careful, though, because it is the, as Srila Guru Kishore Das Babaji once said, these cities are like the seat of Kali. The citadel, the capital. It's like you enter the fortress of the enemy. Srila Guru Kishore Das Babaji, he actually instructed Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. He said, don't you go to Calcutta, because it is the seat of Kali. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, because he was the only disciple, he took the inner meaning, the real meaning of Srila Guru Kishore Das Babaji's instruction, that he understood that Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji was feeling extremely compassionate, because he knew that in the cities people had no spiritual life whatsoever. They're just completely, 100%, as Srila Prabhupada mentions in his song, 100% absorbed in materialism. And any attempts at spiritualism is usually some pseudo superficial useless display or activity. Very, very, there is practically nothing. It's just complete materialism. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he took Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji's words that therefore, because of his compassion for the people in the city, I will, make my headquarters in Calcutta, and I will preach, in all the big cities, throughout India. Such personalities like Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji, they're very difficult to understand, but Vaishnavas who understand Krishna's work, they always can understand the activities of other Vaishnavas. What Krishna wants, as he states very clearly in the Bhagavad Gita to all the Vaishnavas, is one who preaches this message of Bhagavad Gita, to all the fallen souls, somehow helps them to deliver them back to Krishna. He is very, very dear. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, he says, do not preach this message to those who are not devoted. Don't preach it to those who are, not austere, or those who are envious. Don't preach this message. And early in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna also says that, don't disrupt the minds of the ignorant like that. But Srila Prabhupada points out in that purport that actually, a Krishna conscious devotee who understands the Lord's real purpose, he knows that although Krishna, he is asking, do not give, these confidential teachings to people who will simply become offensive, or disregarded or misuse it in some way, but a devotee, he knows that what Krishna wants is that if someone shows the slightest, spark that they can engage in Krishna consciousness, a devotee will take that and fan that little spark until it becomes, a big flame of Krishna consciousness. And, Srila Prabhupada also mentions many times in his letters and in his books that devotees, they take great risks. They're prepared to take risks in spreading Krishna consciousness. And, he gave the example of Lord Nityananda, who approached Jagai and Madai, a very, very sinful, very, very fallen persons. And of course, according to the Bhagavad Gita, you would probably not attempt to help them to become Krishna conscious. But, Lord Nityananda is showing that is there, and if there is going to be some reaction, yes, let me suffer, but somehow or another, let these people be delivered, because that's what Lord Chaitanya really wants. So a devotee is always, they're very cautious in preaching, they're very cautious in associating with the material energy, especially in places like the cities and what have you. It should not, it is very dangerous, to be out in amongst Maya preaching. It's very dangerous. And we have seen that many, Krishna conscious soldiers have fallen because of, again becoming illusioned by Maya. So it's very dangerous. But at the same time, the devotees do take the risk of, going out into Maya's kingdom and helping people to become Krishna conscious. various devotees, they have different moods in serving Krishna, and they have different relationships, but all of them have this, same underlying feature that whatever Krishna's most confidential desire, that somehow or another, in our particular capacity, whatever is my capacity, let me become an instrument in Krishna's hands to fulfill that desire. And because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, if I do become an instrument in his hands, then, it is guaranteed that that service will be successful. because Krishna consciousness is not dependent upon any material circumstances. You know, if people come to Krishna consciousness, they don't have to be an academic scholar. They don't have to have, you know, be born in a very, you know, well-to-do family. They don't have to have, you know, any material qualifications at all. And in fact, in Kali Yuga, we see that people have less and less qualifications, you know, day by day. But, you know, and this is another thing that was exemplified by the life of Guru Kishore Das Babaji, because Guru Kishore Das Babaji, of course, he was illiterate. He couldn't actually even write his name. He was completely illiterate. But, you know, it did not stop him from being Krishna conscious. In fact, devotees would ask him the most confidential, you know, most difficult questions about spiritual science, and he would always answer them based upon all Vedic evidence. Because, you know, Krishna was dictating from within his heart, and because, you know, Krishna makes arrangements that his devotees know. So sometimes, a very interesting point, devotees may appear sometimes to be defective in many different ways, material ways, but we should understand that if they are, you know, a devotee of Krishna, surrendered to Krishna, the most important thing is that they know Krishna. And if they know Krishna, and Krishna is directing them, they know everything that needs to be known. So, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, of course, he approached Srila Guru Kishore Das Babaji for initiation. And, you know, to exemplify this, Guru Kishore Das Babaji, he wanted to teach the world that Krishna will not accept a disciple, no matter how materially qualified they are, if they don't have a sincere desire to serve Krishna, to serve the Guru, Krishna doesn't accept them. So material qualifications, you know, have no real value. So therefore, you know, very much shown in the example of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, of course, was a, you know, great scholar, greatest scholar of his times. You know, his you know, he would, you know, just ransack libraries and just remember every, you know, every word in every book. You know, he had a, you know, photographic memory. Yeah, he's a great scholar on many, many different, you know, levels. He was also the son of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who was a very, you know, he was a magistrate. You know, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was, you know, held in great esteem at various stages, especially the latter part of his life, because he was, you know, very well established as a, you know, very elevated person, even, you know, from you know, an apparent material position. So when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur approached Srila Guru Kishore Das Babaji for initiation, he was rejected 3 times to show this. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, though, he understood, he knew that Srila Guru Kishore Das Babaji is also teaching that a spiritual master should not accept a disciple just because there are some material qualifications where he can materially benefit. You know, that, or he's, you know, if I accept Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, everyone knows him, he is a great personality, then I will be known as a great guru. And if I am known as a great guru, so many people will come, so many disciples, and I will get so much wealth and so much, you know, prestige like this. So, you know, from the spiritual master's point of view, the disciple must be qualified, the spiritual master must be qualified, and Srila Guru Kishore Das Babaji was perfectly exemplifying this mood. Therefore, when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati approached him on the first occasion, he asked if he could take initiation. And Srila Guru Kishore Das Babaji said, I cannot do anything without the instruction of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so I will ask him. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati returned the next day, and he said, and what was, you know, what was his reply, what was Mahaprabhu's reply? And he said, I forgot to ask. So then he came back, you know, the next day. So what was his reply? And Srila Gaurang Kusodas Babaji said, I did not receive the command. And he said, Lord Chaitanya said that material qualifications are very, very insignificant compared to devotional qualifications. So, of course, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati was shattered. And he began to cry. And he said, both you and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you worship Krishna who is a debauchee. So are you cheating me too? Huh? If you worship a debauchee, then perhaps that is why you're trying to cheat me. From a material perspective, Krishna, he tells some lies and, plays some tricks on him. And does things which are not materially acceptable, but from a spiritual platform we can understand that Krishna is enjoying pure loving pastimes with his devotees. But anyway, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati said, if I don't receive your mercy, then there is no need for me to continue living. But he said that considering that Ramanujacharya was rejected 18 times before he was accepted by his spiritual master, I will wait. So anyway, here in this Srila Gauraka Shodas Babaji became, his heart melted, and he had tested Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, and he had demonstrated to the world the proper process and etiquette, and so he sprinkled some dust from his feet upon Srila Bhakti Siddhanta's head and said, you go take a bath and then you come back and take initiation. And so he took the name Sri Vasa Bhanavi Devi Dayatadas. So, but in this pastime, the Acharyas are showing us that material qualifications have no real asset on the spiritual platform. Sometimes they can apparently be helpful in the beginning, but really, as Srila Prabhupada said, they're not necessary. Anyone can become Krishna conscious. When you're going out and preaching, that's the point. You go out and preach, anyone can become Krishna conscious because it doesn't depend upon their material situation, and you should always remember that when you approach conditioned souls. The only necessity is some meekness, some humility, and any sort of desire to engage in devotional service, you can, fan that little spark and help that person become Krishna conscious. If they had the tiniest little spark of desire to serve Krishna somewhere within their heart from a previous life as a result of, agata sukriti, then the devotee should dive all over that and help that person become Krishna conscious, whatever situation. Spiritual advancement does not depend upon any material condition. Srila Prabhupada says you can gain transcendental knowledge just eating prasadam. So in this way we should always feel very confident of the mercy of Krishna. Always feel very meek and humble as self, and always just try to act as the instrument within the hands of Krishna, and then we will surely be successful. I'll leave it there if anyone has any questions or comments. You've got about 30 seconds.
Why?
Quarter past. I get that. Because of the marathon.
Yeah.
Quickly. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura explains that it's impossible not to associate with other people who are not devotees, because sometimes they're our relatives, sometimes they're in our workplace, and of course if we're preaching we're going out amongst them. So He says that when we associate with people, if we do it without attachment, we're not actually taking their association. As soon as we become attached to them, we're taking their association. And he says, so therefore we have the same mood as if, say, when you go into a shop and you purchase something, you know, yes, I'd like a pound of butter. Oh, you know, nice day, beautiful, lovely weather. And you get your produce and, you know, out you go. That's it. That's that sort of mood. So you can be friendly, you can be civil. The transaction is done, whatever it may be. But you don't become attached. You don't become involved. If you don't become attached like that, you're not actually taking their association.
We just on that point of literacy, I know it's sometimes it's interesting now that you see things where it was written about David Renderson's book, Vedic India, Search for Vedic India, about that point of how the Western mindset looks at things like the Vedic culture through their filters of perhaps naivety, like the culture itself, maybe from an Aboriginal background, because originally they didn't even have books. This knowledge was passed down word to mouth through hearing, and as you read in the book there, that the gopis were always singing for the queens of those kings. They were also singing the voice of Krishna, that how wonderful he's killed so many beings and surely he'll deliver our husbands. So this was all passed down, and everybody in the culture, the Vedic culture, was singing glorifying Krishna out of their heartfelt appreciation. And that Maharaj said that when I was saying, the original persons, unlike history, archaeologists today, scientists today, they feel that we're evolving to a more intelligent being. The first persons in Vedic culture were the ones, the holders of the knowledge. Without writing it down, they could pass it to another and give that full knowledge. And that person was so imbued with fine what tissues in the brain, because of his purity, he could absorb all of that. So Gorky Shaw's strategy, although you mentioned he was illiterate, we shouldn't perceive him as any lesser Vaishnava than Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj.
No.
And like that...
Well, he was his spiritual master.
Like that, these books that Prabhupada has written, although he said they're books, law books, for mankind for 10,000 years, Prabhupada wanted us to read those books, converse with the devotees about them like they're doing today, so we know them and can share them verbally on the streets, not just... You know, like that. So it's an interesting point how we perceive the culture of Krishna consciousness. It hasn't coming from an agrarian or agricultural background, and suddenly the books were printed later because we wanted to store knowledge, which is what they're saying with knowledge today. We want to keep records for the future. People could imbibe that knowledge and pass it on naturally. But the reason the Vasudeva came because Kali Yuganites didn't have such abilities. And he foresaw the future. That's why the Vedas were split up and recorded like that, just so we could actually have something to check and record and look up, go back to, listen, you know, read, share like that. So it's a perception difference.
Yes, Srila Gaurav Kishore Das Babaji, although he was illiterate, he associated constantly with the most advanced devotees all over, you know, Vrindavan, because he lived there for 30 years. And he lived in Navadvip for about 30 years or something like that as well. And he associated constantly with very, very elevated devotees. He used to go and regularly hear from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, as you know, he wrote over 100 books on Krishna consciousness. So he would go there regularly and hear. So he was hearing, you know, his whole life, this Krishna consciousness. And at the same time, he used to carry two books with him. And they were although he couldn't read or write, but he used to carry the books of Srila Narottam Das Thakur, Pradhana, and Prema Bhakti Chandrika. And as you know, the famous quote that one time someone asked him, you know, what is the price for achieving love of God? And he said, 5 paisa. And they said, well, you know, how can it be 5 paisa to achieve love of God? He said, you go to the marketplace, you purchase these two books, and then you'll understand everything about, you know, achieving love of God. So to him, these books of Narottam Das Thakur contain the essence of all Vedic knowledge, and devotees would come and they would, you know, he would sing, they would, you know, the bhajans and meditate upon the verses and what have you. So that was all there.
Interesting. He had the books.
He had the books. No, but what he used to do was when a devotee would come to him, And to test him, he would say, "Oh, you sing this prayer by Narottam Das Thakur," and he would just listen to the way that devotee sang that prayer, and he could tell what level that devotee was on. As you sing this prayer to the guru, and if there is nothing there, but you know, if you felt he could understand, you know, on a different level, you know, I can see your devotion, and therefore he could understand the knowledge and realization of that devotee by how he sang that prayer. So, it's not as if he wasn't interested in books, but you know, his two favourite books used to be heard and chanted amongst his associates, and he also heard and chanted all the writings of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita with others. So even if one can't study oneself, his example is that still, if you hear from the Vaishnavas and the gurus, you're just as good as if you're a real scholar studying themselves, in fact sometimes better. Because Srila Prabhupada points out in a couple of places that you can't actually become Krishna conscious just by reading the books. If you don't get the mercy of a devotee, you can't actually assimilate or realise the teachings. And we see that the people, you know, they read Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam, they know them better than us, and they have no idea that Krishna is God, because they haven't got the mercy of a devotee. But someone who doesn't know how to read and has read very little, and they get a few moments association with a pure devotee, they immediately understand Krishna is God. Krishna gives them that understanding. But the greatest Vedantas, therefore Lord Chaitanya also, you know, his spiritual master considered, you know, you're a fool, don't study Vedanta, chant Hare Krishna. That is the example given by, you know, Ishvara Puri to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even though he was a great scholar, he always considered himself a great fool before the Vaishnava, before the Guru, and, you know, propagated the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, not the study of, you know, Vedic knowledge.
But it was interesting, he said that not to mix, we should be careful, this is not to mix with the faithless and the rogues and the Kali Yugaites, because of the, they're talking nonsense and they're talking anything, all materialistic topics. But even in the Vedic society, we read in the Bhagavatam, the prostitutes, which are considered, of course, low in today's standards, were never a necessary thing in that culture then, even for certain individuals. But it's described that they were all, when Krishna appeared on the scene in Vrindavan, they were on the rooftops and they were also singing and praising his glories.
And those prayers were more dear to Krishna than the prayers of you know, the Brahmins chanting Vedic hymns, because they had that devotion. Yeah, that's, you know, so one who understands Krishna, he actually understands, he has come to the topmost limit of knowledge. He understands Krishna is God, I am his servant, and he takes up that service, he's at the very topmost point of knowledge. And therefore, being in that position, Krishna will feed him whatever he needs to know within the heart.
If someone is fallen, and I remember the one Prabhu asked Dr. Vishnu Maharaj at the home program we had at that place up in Woolloomba, that he was feeling exactly what you said, that he couldn't feel that he could attain Krishna consciousness in this life. I don't know what happens there. You know, I've struggled for 30 years and I still don't feel I've made any advancement. I think Prabhu Vishnu Maharaj gave a rather longer answer than you did about just, well, you know, we're going to reading and chanting. And if someone is feeling like that, and because this Prabhu said, I am reading and I am chanting, but I still feel I haven't come anywhere in 30 years.
So he's reading,
he says,
and chanting, constantly.
Reading and coming to the temple.
So he's constantly engaged in Krishna consciousness. And he's constantly engaged in Krishna consciousness, and he's wondering,
well,
when will I become Krishna conscious?
Probably.
When will I engage in Krishna consciousness?
I remember Prabhupada shrugged his shoulders and said, your humility is...
It's astounding.
Yeah. But,
I agree.
But could that be humility, or, you know, what I'm asking is, like, you know, if someone really does feel... Still.
Well, if sometimes a person may actually feel like that and therefore go away.
Yeah. go away.
Yeah.
So the fact that you're still associating and you're still wonderful devotee, it perhaps is a sign that you're something more.
Well, actually, Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji gives an important answer to that very question. That sometimes we see devotees take the Krishna consciousness, get the association of devotees, and yet somehow or another they fall away. And someone asked Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji that exact point, how is it? How could that be possible? And he said, his answer was, that if devotees need to associate and engage in devotional service and give the time for the process to actually take effect, if they do that, then there's success. And what happens is that devotees leave the association or give up the process before the effect comes fully, so sometimes. So that's his answer. That, and Srila Rupa Goswami says the same thing. We should be enthusiastic. We should follow all the principles, associate with devotees or avoid the association of non-devotees. We should be enthusiastic, confident, but we should be patient. Because patient means that, okay, I'm confident, I'll get the result. It may not be today, but if I wait, it will come. So really all he's lacking is that patience.
Sickness, quite a severe sickness in the body. It's very hard to differentiate where you're at and when your body's very sick as well. The happiness may not be there.
He may be a little confused.
The bliss of the consciousness may be confused with the sickness.
But if those, Rupa Goswami says if those things are there, the confidence, the patience, and the enthusiasm, follow the rules, associate devotees, avoid association with non-devotees, success is guaranteed. But he may also be performing those six activities that hold back devotional service. Talking nonsense, overeating, over-collecting. If he's performing any of those six activities, that will also hold back his devotional service. So there are six do's, the essence of, the things to do, and there's six don'ts. And if he looks at that very carefully, that devotee, and sees, am I doing the six do's and avoiding the six don'ts? And he will very quickly isolate, that's where the problem is. It'll be one of those. So one of them is to associate with devotees, and then he gives the idea how to associate nicely so that you get the effect without causing offences. So it's all there. Actually, the devotee, even on that devotee who after 30 years feels my progress is very slow, he can't quite perceive how quick, Aliji was pointing out, hundreds and hundreds of lifetimes where you may not, you're just barely even getting close to the goal. In 30 years, he's there and just, a hop, skip and a jump away from complete success. So massive, the acceleration is massive. But we can't see it. We don't see that. We don't see how in this one life, how we've saved ourselves millions of births. And we're thinking, it's going so slow. I've just saved myself millions of births in the material world, but I think things are going slowly. That's a good point. So, all glory to the Prabhupada.
Thank you.